Thank you, Danny and worship team. Really good to be with you again this morning. Glad that it's Sunday. Glad that it's summer, you know. Our family has had a good summer, so that's been a really positive thing for us. I hope you have too. We started a new series for August. It's called Word to the Wise, and naturally, this has flown out of the story of King Solomon, who as a little boy asked the Lord for wisdom, and the Lord granted that request, blessed him with wisdom. Solomon was known all over the ancient world during his time as being like the most wise person. And we too can ask God for wisdom, for discernment. If we're facing, just generally ask him to help us grow in that. And as I mentioned last week, I'm always nervous for those kind of requests because you're like, you know, it's like asking God for patience, right? Pray that he's just going to put us in a whole bunch of weird situations that we're going to have to grow and learn to be wise. But we might be facing a decision in our life or a crossroads or some sort of transition that we're looking at. And those are really times to ask the Lord to help us be wise, to be discerning. And the Holy Spirit will provide it. But another way that we can learn to grow in wisdom is just from the Bible's wisdom literature. And that's actually a category in most of our Bibles. It's right in the middle. It starts with a book called Job, which all of us kind of, you know, go, I don't get it. And then there's, you know, there's Psalm of Solomon, which is another one of those. I don't really get that one either. And there's Psalms. That's a good one. And Proverbs. And all these things, I mean, come on. I know I'm a pastor. But who really reads these books, right? Yes, I know you do. You should. But it's easy to read the Old Testament. It's narratives. It's stories. It's really fun. And then there's the New Testament. It's Jesus. It's the epistles. There's Revelation. That's another one that we just kind of don't talk about because what's that all about? I don't know where I'm digressing majorly here and trying to dig myself out of this hole. The reason we don't read these books more is because it's poetry, a lot of it. And reading poetry in a different language is always tough. And so there's wordplay, there's stuff happening in the Hebrew that we just, when you translate it, it just gets lost. And so whether it's Ecclesiastes or the Song of Solomon or Proverbs, a lot of times these books are very applicable to our world today, especially at face value. But there's always kind of hidden or more deeper meaning. And that just doesn't come at first blush. You kind of have to work for it. And so Proverbs is a compilation of Israel's best wisdom thinkers from that era. King Solomon was, of course, a major contributor, but there were other people who contributed to this work. And it's about life and people. You know, if you were to ask, what's Proverbs about? It's hard to come up with just one answer. I've heard it said that it's like these are guidelines for fruitful living. Something I read a week ago was that this is about relationships built on integrity, and those are kind of good general, yeah, but there's more to it. I would add, Proverbs really wants to shape you, and it wants to shape us as a community. That we would walk in harmony and faithfulness with God's ways, because there are definitely ways that God wants us to roll through life. And he wants to deepen our devotion and relationship with him. And so Proverbs is one of those books that it's like making life work best. Like here's, you can six of one, half dozen of another in a lot of things, but when we practice life God's ways with wisdom, we realize it was better. And so that's what Proverbs is trying to do. It was written 3,000 years ago, but man, people have not changed much. Human behavior is largely the same. We might look different, walk different, talk different, but largely human behaviors remain unchanged. And so we're going to dive right in this morning to our passage, which encourages us to use wisdom in our speech. And it comes from Proverbs chapter 12, verses 16 through 22. And I invite all of you who are able to stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read it here for you aloud from the translation, the New International Version, the NIV. Here we go together. Wow, that's a block of text. Sorry about that. Here we go. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only for a moment. Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. No harm overtakes the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. The prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but a fool's heart blurts out folly. This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. You can have a seat. It's almost not fair to do scripture reading of Proverbs, because at first blush, they just all seem like independent sayings. But these are connected. Sometimes Proverbs are independent sayings. This is the frustrating thing when you read Proverbs. But often they're connected to the verses around them or that chapter or previous chapters to wider themes that are going on. And so that's what starts to emerge kind of as you study it. The image that helps me best is to think of this like a bouquet. This is a wisdom bouquet. And every single one of these Proverbs is one that you can pluck out and admire it from different perspectives, or you can put it back and see how it interacts with the rest or the whole larger wisdom bouquet that's happening here. And I'm going to read aloud for you the NLT, this is New Living Translations, because I think it's just a little more straightforward, and you need to hear this twice. So, as I read this, I want you to see if you can pick out a repetition. The hint is it has to do with honesty. And so as this is poetry, it's like a refrain. It's like the chorus of a song. So see if you can pick this out. Here we go, verse 16. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. An honest witness tells the truth. A false witness tells lies. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. Deceit fills the hearts of those that are plotting evil. Joy fills the hearts of those planning peace. No harm comes to the godly, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. So I hope you heard it that time. There's a repeated chorus there about the truth, about honesty and lying. And really straightforward reason for this, is trying to shape society. Honest citizens are required to healthy communities. And the words that we use each and every single day with one another, they have power. They have influence. It's easy to abuse one another with our words. So the first arena that we're going to enter with this passage has to do with the power of our own reactions. Our own reactions. This is verse 16. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. So whenever I read Proverbs, I have these moments because I cringe. It's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I do that more often than I'd like to admit. And I guess by Proverbs, I know what that makes me, right? Don't be a fool. I'm trying really hard. I can't help it. And this, again, is just kind of human nature here, the human condition to just blurt things out in conversation, especially when you're reacting to one another. And that's the context. Imagine having a conversation. It could be at home, it could be at school, it could be at work, it could be on the playground. And the topic of the conversation starts to move towards politics, for example. And it's clear, you're still imagining with me, okay? I know some of you are like cringing. It's clear this person has a very different opinion than you do. Is there a difference between feeling annoyed and showing your annoyance? Yes, and we are experts at being passive aggressive in this arena, aren't we? Think about this for a second. Or ask the person next to you if you don't know. What's your preferred method of showing someone that you're annoyed? Think about that. Is it the eye roll? Is it tapping your foot? What else? Oh, the scowl, the hands on the hips. You know, I'm the unhappy face. We all do this, and sometimes we do it too much. Maybe any amount of time is too much. I have a nephew that's like 13 years old now, and when he was 4 or 5, it was the best. Like, he would just interrupt you when he was done, and he would do it like this. He'd say, "No, no, you no talk right now," and he'd point. No, no, so at our house, we still do that to one. No, 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 you no talk right now. You know, you're just done. We're shutting you down. There's passive ways of doing this, but we can also get real aggressive. And where this hits really closest to home is when someone makes a statement on social media, God forbid it, all right? And one of the worst things, we all know this, because we think this is a private space, even though this is extremely public. And the other worst thing about social media is it's not a face-to-face thing. It's always once removed. And so we feel like we can just blow people up. It's easy to be reactive. It's easy to get angry in a way that we would never do so meeting face-to-face. So human nature is such that it feels real good to unload on people, doesn't it? When we're angry, it feels good to indulge that. But the only thing it's doing is feeding the anger. We'd like to think of it as venting. I'm not so sure. Don't feed the anger. Be better than that. God's way is better. And maybe one of the best ways to avoid being quick-tempered, staying calm, cool, and collected, not as a weapon, because we can do that too, but just to stay calm, is take a deep breath. Wait 10 seconds. Go for a walk. Tell the person, "I can't talk about this right now. Give me a second." But don't allow yourself to just react, because that's where this hits home. You know, fools, I just forgot what it was. Let me go back. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. How hard is that? That's like one step up. Overlooking an insult. How do you become the kind of person who has Teflon? Or when someone's trying to provoke you, that you don't take the bait? That's a hard one. That's one to pray about. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. And I think that God wants to help us in this category, and that we could even practice so that with our spouse and our kids and our parents and our coworkers, that we don't take that shortcut towards annoyance anymore. Our lives, our communities will be better for it. So, wise people have wise reactions, and they also share wise remarks. We're going to jump down to Proverbs 12:18. That's what this one is all about, is wise remarks. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise do what? They bring healing. And if you've ever had a person in your life that makes cutting remarks, you're probably thinking of them right now. And I hope it's not you. We've all known people who have really cutting remarks, and they hurt. And cutting remarks is the New Living Translation rendering of something the NIV calls reckless. A lot of other translations translate this as rash. And it's trying to give you a different perspective on what's being called out here. So you could imagine a reckless driver, or imagine that for a moment. Is that person trying to hurt you or others or destroy property? Probably not. But their driving is unintentionally endangering others. That's kind of a flavor here of what these cutting remarks are like. The idea is that this person is speaking without thought or care for how their words could hurt another person. I know, I've never done that, right? You've never done that. Man, this one's tough. Reckless talking. It's gossip. It's unflattering comments made about someone else. It's what comes to mind when you hear the magic words, "I'm just saying it like it is." Man, that one always, as if that makes it okay. I'm just saying it how it is. Reckless words have the potential to cause big wounds in other people. And there isn't a person alive who hasn't experienced the sting of reckless or rash words. And there probably isn't a person alive who hasn't done it. So I've noticed that when I catch myself speaking, and I think that's the key, so when you catch yourself speaking, because a lot of times it's like the words are out there and then the bell rings. When you catch yourself speaking about someone, that's where you need discipline. That's where you need to pump the brakes if your words about that person start heading in just a bad direction. And so a few rash words pierce like swords, and almost every modern translation of the Bible of this verse, verse 18, calls these kind of words sword thrusts. Okay, sword thrusts. And because all of us are very familiar with ancient combat, no. That one, okay, sword thrusts. Well, ancient combatants had to get so close to one another that they could smell each other's breath. Think about that. And so if someone takes a hack at you with a sword, that's real threatening. That feels too close for comfort. That is not okay. And that's how it feels when someone else is gossiping about you or using unflattering comments about you or whatever. You get real defensive in a hurry, don't you? It's a beautiful image of how this feels. And even though we've all done it, it's something that it's like, don't go there. Pump the brakes. Become aware of it. Choose to do something else. And the most powerful thing about us is like, you know, our words can hurt others, but guess what? They can also be healing. Don't you want to be the kind of person who others thinks, you know, their words don't pierce me, they help me. Healing words. And man, maybe that's just directed right to our families, you know? How do I be the kind of spouse or the kind of dad or the kind of son or whatever who instead of has rash, reactive, biting words, it's just the opposite. That's the kind of person I want to be. That's the kind of people we want to come. This is talking about our everyday speech. Wise people have measured reactions. They share non-combative healing remarks. They're not picking fights. And they give wise counsel. Verse 20, deceit fills hearts that are plotting evil. Joy fills hearts that are planning peace. So the contrast in every one of these verses, there's a contrast. The contrast here, plotting evil versus planning peace. And this also describes what we learned in the children's message with Rehoboam's advisors. You know, one group encourages peace, and the other one, a show of defiance, a show of bravado, a kind of plotting of evil. And we all know how that turned out. It started a civil war. And so these verses 21 and 22, I mean, they seem like an obvious choice. So be obvious. Be a person who promotes peace. There's just more joy in it. So if we take a step back and we look at the kind of wisdom bouquet that we're building here in Proverbs 12, you're seeing a multifaceted perspective on our speech. And you can pluck it out and take it at face value. You can leave it in the bouquet and appreciate it for its beauty and its complexity. This is what Proverbs does, and it does it very well. And sometimes we miss it when we just are plowing through it because it's the verse for the day or whatever app we're using or whatever devotion that we're on. Still okay to do that, yes. But if you go back to it and sit with it, it becomes much deeper and richer. But the most important component of wise speech is the thing that's repeated again and again right here. It's truth. Verse 19, or verse 17, verse 19, verse 22. An honest witness tells the truth, a false witness tells lies. Verse 19, truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. Verse 22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. Honesty is such a major theme. Yeah, it's a page drop here, mic drop right at that point. Honesty is a major theme in the Bible, especially Proverbs. It's the backbone of our wise words. It's the bedrock for healthy communities. And whether it's in the court system, where justice is at stake, whether it's our day-to-day dealings with one another, whether it's a matter of personal character and integrity, truthful words mean so much. You know, once Jesus remarked that out of your heart, he's talking to the Pharisees, out of your heart, your mouth overflows. I've never liked that verse. Because it tells so much about what's inside. Out of your heart, your mouth overflows. It's a good litmus test for what's in there. And so, what's your heart? You know, all of us can nod our heads and say, oh, it's a good thing to be honest. But what about the white lies? You know, the things that just don't seem, whatever. What about inaccuracies? Man, this is one that gets me. It's the, hey, I'll be there by 9, even though I know it's going to be more like 9:20. Little inaccuracies throughout our day. What about using the truth to mislead others? And only God knows our heart. He cares so much about our motivation and our intentions as he does about anything else. He's probably the only one who truly knows them, maybe even from ourselves. But even though it may not seem like a big deal in the scheme of things, or we may not have technically lied, I don't know that that sits well with God. And so in the day-to-day stuff of life, that's what this is talking about, not the extremes that all of the philosophers want to take, you know, well, just how honest and how often do you have to be? No, just talk about the day-to-day stuff of life, what's in our heart, what comes out of our mouth. How do we become people of integrity? And sometimes the weeds have grown up and we just need to pluck them out and we need to double down on just, you know what, I need to do better at honest speech. And maybe you did that in the past or have done that and the weeds have grown up again and you need to lean over and say, God, help me. Pluck that out, throw it away. That's a good thing. God's going to honor that. He's going to help. He's going to prompt you. The Holy Spirit is going to point that out. Because the truth and being honest people, whether it's in how we pay our taxes, whether it's in how we, the ethics that we use in our business, to the stuff that happens at home, it's the backbone of healthy communities and especially a trademark of God's people and the life of the Spirit that's living in each and one of us. So, as you think over all of this morning, what's the Lord inviting you to do? Was there a piece of this passage, these Proverbs, or of this message that you're like, yep, that's a growing edge, I need to work on that? Maybe there was a good reminder in there, a word of caution, or possibly a place for repentance where you just go, God, I need to double down on this and do a better job. Help me come back to you. God honors those prayers, those intentions. And so our words carry such tremendous power. We can learn to have wise reactions. We can give wise remarks. We can receive and give wise counsel. But maybe the most beautiful little phrase here that I've been thinking about ever since I've been working on this message is the whole delight thing. The Lord delights in people who tell the truth. How often does it say in the Bible that the Lord delights? I don't know. Not very often. The Lord delights. It puts a smile on God's face. It makes him proud in people who tell the truth. And so what an impact we would make as individuals, as a community, if we became those kind of people. Amen? Amen. So let me close in prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning, and I know that it's not just me. This is a human thing. Our words trip us up. And often we want to be better than we are with our reactions and with our remarks, and then we're not. So forgive us. And more importantly, help us to own that, to say we're sorry when we need to others that we've hurt, Lord God, to ask their forgiveness. Give us that courage. And also, Lord, through your Holy Spirit's power, help us to grow. Help us to become aware of moments when we need to pump the brakes, slow down what we're saying or how we're feeling or how we're showing our feelings, Lord. Help us to be wise and truthful people, Lord. That's what we want to do. Those are the kind of people we want to be. They're your people. We're so grateful, God, for the gift of life that you've given us and for the second chance that we have to live for you. We love you, Lord. We pray this in your powerful name. Amen. Well, please rise for this morning's benediction. I share with you as we head out on our days, our beautiful days and the start of our weeks. But God bless you. God keep you and help make you aware of your words this week. May they bring glory to God. May they bring healing to your families. And may they bring truth to your life. Go in peace. Amen.